Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, joined here for the first half of the show by Dr. Timothy Schaefer, Assistant Professor of Communication Studies and Assistant Director of the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. Good to have you on.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
It is always kind of interesting when we have you on because there's always a big news story going on in the world, and we have one of those going on as we speak yet again. Before we get to that, though, I understand there's some interesting things going on at the national level in civic discourse.
Yeah. I don't know if it's cause and effect, so maybe we need to rethink my routine nature of coming here. I don't want to be the problem that causes what seemingly is a mess. Joking aside, the National Institute for Civil Discourse is doing quite a bit today, in fact, in different ways. So as we speak, the executive director, Keith Allred, of NICD, is speaking at a congressional hearing this morning to the Bipartisan Committee on the Modernization of Congress. And so this is a bipartisan group who's trying to look at ways that Congress can frankly function better. And today's hearing in particular is on civility and kind of collaboration. So they are having a handful of guests of Ray LaHood, who was in previous government administration, Keith Allred and others, who are going to be talking about the challenges of civility, but also the importance of it, right? So how does Congress within itself function as a more deliberative body? So that's one thing that's going on. And actually, after I am here this morning, I'm going to go hop on a plane and find myself in Tucson, Arizona. National Institute for Civil Discourse was founded and based out of the University of Arizona with offices in D.C. now. But we're having a research convening, so about 50 scholars from across the United States who are political scientists, communication scholars, psychologists, all sorts of folks who are going to be convening for the next 3 days to talk about issues of civil discourse from multiple perspectives. So it's exciting to be part of that. We have these every 2 years, so I'm part of the National Institute for Civil Discourse. And so every 2 years, we have these research convenings. And out of the last one, we actually published a book called A Crisis of Civility, which just came out earlier this year. So it's exciting to be with colleagues who are really interested and concerned about what civility looks like in online communication, what it looks like in kind of face-to-face, what it looks like in Congress. We even have one colleague who is now based in Liverpool, England. So I know she's had a long trip to get to Tucson, but it's really, I think, important work, and I'm excited to be able to be there and help convene that, and also for, kind of wearing my K-State hat to be able to be there in that capacity, because we have our Institute for Civic Discourse here, and we are really committed and grounded in kind of fostering civil discourse in lots of ways, whether it's with students, with community partners. We might talk about it a bit, but this national or this statewide project with the lead from some legislators who are some locally here who are really trying to champion this. So I think in response to what otherwise is a really challenging backdrop of kind of the national landscape and the feeling of just total political dysfunction, as we were hearing it in the congressional hearing, the other congressional hearing going on this morning that's getting a lot of play around the whistleblower situation with the conversation of President Trump and the president of Ukraine. I think finding ways for us to navigate through what otherwise feels like just a mess, a total mess, and kind of an impasse that, for all of its flaws, civility and civil discourse still play a central role, because we need to figure out how do we respond to what otherwise feels like just a tearing at the seams.
Yeah, it's interesting because, and I don't know what your takeaway will be here from your trip to Tucson, but whenever there's a political thing, you have a buddy or a friend or who reaches out to you, hey, what's your thoughts on this? And I want to share my thoughts, with my friends and family, but getting to the root of some of the information is so hard.
Yeah, I mean, and I think this has been one of the challenges that it's not been exclusively during this administration, but the landscape of media. How do we get information? How do we think about the challenges of accessing and making sense of the material that we have in front of us or that we hear, right? Either firsthand or secondhand, how is it filtered? Quote the fake news, intentionally manipulated information. I mean, all of this kind of stuff, disinformation, this is all, and it's been building for a long time, but right, this is all part of our great challenge is how do we have as best as possible informed, engaged discourse. And this is not just a social media thing. It's amplified by social media tremendously. It's become a platform that just allows a lot to be spread quickly, right? I mean, we use viral. I mean, now it's kind of got a positive connotation, but like typically viral is not a good thing, right? We think about epidemics and, you know, the great influenza that started actually not far from here. Those kinds of things. And I think when, and I know that will be some of the theme over the next few days of how do we kind of reclaim in some sense a notion of kind of the public sphere, this shared public life that we have, and realizing that we increasingly, and it just, I mean, this is part of reality, and then also figuring out what do we do about this. We live in enclaves, we live in kind of like-minded groups physically, like geographically, where do we live, but also where do we consume information, who are the people that we're interacting with, and this is where I think it's really vitally important that we still maintain certain relationships and dynamics that allow us to kind of either peek our head up and out of those bubbles, so to speak, or maintain real genuine relationships with people that we disagree with, who take time and have some intentionality about and some thoughtfulness about how they see and make sense of the world, because I think we really need that. The safety of talking and only kind of existing in kind of the reinforcing echo chambers is kind of nice and cozy, but that's not life, or that's only a part of life. And so I think we need to do some real significant work of, and this doesn't always have to be through the lens of politics, but just in a human way. How do we interact with other people? That there's a great new book that's coming out called Overdoing Democracy, and it's basically this argument that we've put the lens of kind of politics onto everything, and it's saturating, and we're losing that sense of just human interactions, right? So where are the civic relationships? Where are the interactions with parents? I have a daughter who goes to dance class, right? So I sit in this little space with a bunch of folks. There's not a whole lot of talking, but right, we need to maintain some of those interactions, or else we're going to potentially lose a sense of what politics is for, which is for myself, and this is the phrase that I always use, how do we live well with one another? And politics is one way to get at that. But I think we've turned politics into the end goal. That's what we're striving for in some significant ways, and that's really detrimental.
You know, everything that's covered in the news has some sort of political spin, it seems like, these days. You know, we have the census coming up next year. That'll be a political game for sure, because it's tied to funding.
Yeah.
There's even the hurricane. I think there was issues with that, with the National Oceanic Administration.
Yeah, right. I mean, the last incident of, you know, all of a sudden NOAA is, here's this agency that does tremendous work. I mean, largely behind the scenes, right? A lot of people don't even know that acronym, or even when you say it in its full title, what that still is. But, you know, those are the folks who keep track of these storms, who do, you know, weather and all this that is fundamentally supposed to be apolitical, but is now being pulled into a lot of these things. And I think it's very sad that we have kind of pulled everything in and seen it, are now seeing it through those filters. I think politics is ingrained in how we kind of function as people, right? This is that deeply rooted Western way of thinking, of saying we're political animals. Here's Aristotle. And at the same time, not everything has to be through this kind of partisan, polarized lens, right? We can think of politics as a kind of, quote, everyday politics that are just about how do we interact with one another rather than which politician are you behind? And I think that's really one of the unfortunate things that we are just so deep into that it's hard to see another way.
I want to take a break here. I want to talk to you a little bit after the break about what's going on currently in Washington, D.C. with the impeachment hearing, or inquiry, I should say. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Schaefer after this on News Radio KMAN.